It's material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Over a hill and under a misty mountain, deep within the unceded Musqueam territory of Vancouver, British Columbia, I'm Doug Vandelay with another episode of Comedy Zeitgeist. You can follow the show on Twitter at Comedy Zeitgeist and pester me at Doug Vandelay. Hello to everyone listening on CITR 101.9 here for the first 30 minutes of the show. I'm here with a comedian who's at the top of everybody's lists, the talented, the very funny Randy Neumeier. How's it going, Randy?
Well, so this is going to be on the radio?
Yeah, well, the first 30 minutes, because I've got a 30-minute time slot. I'll be playing the first episode that was with Carl Amar and Raquel Belmonte next Monday. The person who had the show beforehand, Nico McEwen, it was finding the funny and sort of switching over the helm. He moved to Surrey, and the radio station is in UBC, so it's kind of a hassle. Like, I'm going to be able to mail it in, but he didn't have the equipment to record at home or anything. And I think he's doing mostly writing these days. But I'm going to be having Nico on the show in a few weeks, so keep your ear out for that one. Anyway, you messaged me last week that you were just walking in to see Solo.
Yeah, it was actually good.
You liked it?
It was the second funniest Star Wars movie, definitely. Not counting that the episode 1 to 3 were funny because they were really bad. But, like, genuinely, like, funny. And it was, like, dumb humor a lot of the time, but it was good. Yeah.
What do you think was the first most funny Star Wars?
Oh, definitely The Last Jedi. Like, when that movie opens with the distract phone call, I was like, you never see that in a Star Wars movie. Do you remember?
I don't remember that bit.
I don't want to, like, wreck it. Well, if you haven't seen it already, then you probably don't give a shit about Star Wars, but, there's, like, the part where Poe phones the, I don't know what it's called, that dungle guy, the redhead.
Oh, Bill Weasley.
Like, yeah, and he's, like, he's distracting him with, like, this like, phone call, and it's funny to do something else. Yeah, I can't remember. I saw it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No, I remember now. And he's like, sitting in his X-Wing waiting for it. Yeah, back at this Star Wars podcast. Yeah, people seem to be slamming Solo a lot, but I really liked it. I thought it felt more like the original trilogy than... Mm-hmm. Anything else I've seen for a while.
I don't know why people were slamming it, because it's actually a good movie.
They're just being contrarians or something?
Like, I was bothered by the fact that guy was going to play Han Solo, because his voice is so high, and it really, like, bothered me.
Well, people get deeper as they get older. Well, maybe he got into the, like, space diaries.
But during the movie, I didn't notice at all, so I was like, oh, that's fine.
Maybe there's a bit between Solo and episode 4 where he gets like a 2-pack-a-day habit.
That'd be good.
In the extended universe.
Do they have cigarettes in space?
They got death sticks in the, you remember in the prequel trilogy, someone tries to sell Obi-Wan death sticks?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I just watched the first one.
Oh, for the first time?
No, for the second time. I saw it once when I was a kid, and then I watched it with my boyfriend because he bought episodes 1 to 3. Like a loser.
Oh, you mean the three best episodes of Star Wars?
Yeah.
We can move on from that anyway. You were on Retail Nightmares with Alicia Tobin and Jessica DeLisle. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to the two episodes you were on. And because I haven't met you before and I haven't met them, I couldn't really tell who was talking. There's a bit of the same voice going on.
Yeah. Well, I laugh a lot. Okay, they laugh a lot too, so I guess...
By the end of the second one, I could tell the three of you apart, but I couldn't in the first one, but...
Is it because
you have so many perv stories. Well, you guys all do have accents. I don't have an accent where I'm from.
That's what I meant, like, is it because we have accents to you, so you're like, can't... Like, sometimes I'll think a celebrity's another celebrity if they have an accent.
Well, for instance, it's really easy to tell Carla and Raquel's voices apart.
Oh, yes. Very. Yeah. Well, Raquel's like on 2 packs a day.
Yeah, like Han Solo.
Carla's like, woo!
But yeah, so you have so many stories of perverts you're coming across. Like, was that your story, the naked man in the yard?
Yeah. Well, you see, I'm a woman, so we all have these stories. We all have lots of them.
It's my privilege showing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to, I don't know, yeah, creepy things happen. This will make you laugh. Okay, so.
Okay, good.
Actually, it's kind of scary too, but like, it's the dumbest reason. So I met this guy at Astoria, like, it was probably 5 years ago now. And we were like drunk and we were like, let's go watch The Office. And then he was going to walk me home from the Astoria to my apartment, which is like an hour and a half walk or something. And so we're walking and we start talking about The Office. And he's saying that the British Office is better than the American Office. And I'm like, I disagree, blah, blah, blah. And then he threatened to punch me in the face. Like, but seriously.
Like, legitimately punch
legitimately
you.
He was in a rage. And the weird thing is, because I thought he would be a nice guy because he was from New Zealand. I was like, Australians.
Russell Crowe is from New Zealand.
Is he? I thought he was Australian.
That's what everyone thinks, but he's a Kiwi, you know? He's
Well, I have since learned that
Australians are much more violent.
New Zealanders, especially since I saw these New Zealanders doing the most disgusting thing. Like, you know the little trench thing on a bar where all the liquids fall in?
Yeah.
They picked it up and they were putting the liquid in shot glasses and drinking it.
I don't know if that's a New Zealand thing. I don't know. It's just like...
Well, not a New Zealand thing. I was just like, okay.
There's Jagos everywhere.
New Zealand is Brett and Jermaine.
Hashtag not all New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So this guy threatened me, punched me in the face over The Office. And so I like walked as fast as I could to get away from him. And then he made me let him walk me home. And then, and that's like very, it was scary. Yeah. And then when we finally got to my street, I was just like, you know you can't come in, right? Like, you threatened to punch me in the face. And he was like, oh, yeah. So that's not really funny, but it's just very funny that someone was so rageful.
Yeah, that they got so upset over that.
Yeah. Well, I've had a screaming fight with someone over Tom Hanks, so, like, it can happen.
You pro Tom Hanks?
Pro, yes.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. With a dot. But what was the fight over?
This person didn't like Tom Hanks.
That's impossible.
And,
Did they have reasons?
They hated Forrest Gump. A lot of people hate Forrest Gump. I can't remember their reasons because it was like 10 years ago. But I just still remember like yelling at him in a rage. But I was 18, so.
Yeah, it happens. I'm sure I've got heated about things as well. So that show, Retail Nightmares, obviously about retail nightmares, of which you had quite a lot. Do you still work in retail?
No, I actually work in a fancy office. For my boss is a millionaire. It's weird.
A millionaire?
Yeah.
Is that like what his job is?
No, he just is one. You know.
Right.
I work at a high fashion company.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Can I ask what?
No.
Okay.
Like, it's on every bus. Yeah. The advertisement is on every bus. Everywhere.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask if you, I was going to steal their shtick and ask if you had any more to share. Do you have any that you haven't said on their
creepy
podcast?
Ones.
Or just retail nightmares in general?
Retail nightmares. I don't think about my retail life as much anymore since I escaped it. There's this guy who used to be obsessed with me, and he would invite me on, like, vacations to Mexico and stuff. And I would always be like, but if I get my own room. He's like, no, you have to stay in the same room as me. I'm like, no. But that guy was so weird. So, oh, that's actually the guy who, if you listen to the first Retail Nightmares,
yeah. He's
the guy who I said, like, this is a shitty tip, and he kicked the box thing. The newspaper box. He was mad.
It's a good story if you guys want to listen to that podcast.
But I actually found out that this guy, like, he would always be, like, fine, and then he would just be sad. And he would be like, don't even fucking talk to me. And then I found out it was because he had a brain tumor, and he had a 50-50 chance of getting rid of it. But he wouldn't get the surgery because he didn't want to take the chance.
It's like Schrodinger's tumor.
So then he just went up to the Yukon to slowly die.
How long ago was this?
This was probably 4 years ago. So I'm like, he like moved to the Yukon. It's very weird.
Good luck, Yukon man.
Yeah. Take the operation, bro.
Yeah. Or just get drunk enough to do it yourself.
Oh, he was a monster, though. He would like get wasted.
Was this at Boston Pizza?
No, this is at Best Neighbors.
Is that a bar?
It's like a Greek restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You love cats, I've gathered from my research.
Really? You think that?
Yeah, I love cats too. Who are you following right now?
Oh, well, always, Boomang. Fuck. My phone's not on. Okay, so there's this woman in, I think it's Japan, and she has 9 cats. But she has, like, her favorite cat, which is a orange tabby, which is my favorite as well. And this orange tabby recently had kittens with Lily, who's, like, half Siamese, half something else. She's not interesting. But they had these, like, cute kittens. And now, like, their Instagram's the best. But there's this one video where, like, so the Benny, the orange cat, he loves her son. So, like, he was putting his hand under the cat, and the cat wouldn't like do anything. It would just sit there, and then the mom would put her hand under the cat and it would flip out, and they kept doing it over and over again. It's like cats really have favorites.
Oh yeah, they do. Definitely. My cat back in Australia that I missed, she's called Gorback.
And Gorback.
Gorback, yeah. So we got her from this place called the Cat Haven, which is like a cat refuge, like a pound.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people who work there are obviously crazy cat ladies. And so they gave all of them really weird names. And she's got really wide hips, this cat.
Yeah.
And so she was called Baby Got Back. But on their website, they had misspelled her name Baby Gorback because the T is next to an R.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thought her name was Gorback for the longest time, and it stuck. But she acts like a dog. You can scratch her belly and she rolls around.
That's cute. That sounds like a name like from like Bill and Ted, like that alien would be called Gorback.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, people always ask about her name, but she's got one of those really long names that you give animals sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, I used to long-term cat sit. But like the cats, I don't know what's wrong with me, but when cats live with me for a long time, they start to become bitchy. And I'm like, are they just like living off my aura? But yeah, I had this one cat that was like, he's like the best cat I've ever met. He's a tuxedo cat. But he would slap my face. Like if I was sleeping, he would slap it. Oops. And then he would run away. It was very funny.
Maybe it's like when you're in a relationship, right? The longer you're with someone, the more you sort of start to nitpick them because you're comfortable with them. Maybe the cats are the same. They're like not trying to impress you anymore.
That's probably true. Yeah.
We're anthropomorphizing them too much. I'm sure you've been asked this before, and I almost didn't want to ask you, but are your parents Randy Newman fans?
I don't think so. My name? Do you want to know why I have this shitty name?
It's not shitty. It's interesting. Like,
it's so weird. I moved from my small hometown where no girls were named Randy. As soon as I moved, another Randy moved into town with the same spelling, the two E's on the end. And I was like, what is this? But it's from, my mom told me that it's because she was watching a talk show and she saw the name in the credits. And I'm like, I don't freaking believe you.
It's like Maury Povich or something?
I don't know, but I went on IMDb. There's no Randys with that spelling except for like a porn star. So I'm like, you mean you were watching the credits of a porn? But that's how I assume it came to be.
You're on IMDb.
I know, I have the one. I'm like, who adds these things? I hate that sketch.
Was that for Fuck You Beard?
Yeah. How much research do you do? Did you find my MySpace?
Oh, I wish. That's a good idea. I should start looking for people's MySpaces. No, I do research after work one night a week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that Gray Maid Church asked me after we'd already had the mics off. Like, because I said, I almost feel creepy doing it. And he said, do you enjoy it? Like when you start digging this stuff up about people. And I have to admit that there is something satisfying about it when you find these little nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having Matty Vu on soon from Blood Feud. Mm-hmm. Apparently he used to be a private eye.
Yeah, he would. He's still, well, not, I don't know if he's been a private eye. His job right now is that he basically, like, he works in insurance, I think, and he tries to find out if you're lying. So, like, he goes on your social media, he goes on, like...
Be kind of fun, but also really brutal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask him all about it. So, I read in a Discord or interview that you want to turn your comic strip into a graphic novel.
I actually just did that comic script for Aaron Reed is doing, like, a comics on comics thing for Comedy Waste Fest. So like you're gonna be able to see my comic in his newspaper that he's making. Yeah.
Do you draw that?
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen it.
It's called The Untold Stories of Jesus and Joseph. And it's about how Joseph doesn't love Jesus because he's not his real son. So, like, Jesus is just always like, love me. And then Joseph's just like, no. Like, that's basically, it's a setup punchline. It's only a 2-panel comic.
How many of those have you done?
I actually used to have it in a newspaper, like an independent newspaper in my hometown. But then I got sick of doing that.
Can you find them online now?
I don't think so, but I do have all the newspapers still. But I do have a Facebook page for it that I haven't updated in like 3 years. It's just The Untold Stories of Jesus and Joseph. If you Googled that on, or Facebooked it.
You still planning to turn it into a graphic novel?
I think so. Well, maybe just a Facebook page. It's like, it's so set up punchline. Like it's just like set up punchline and then it's done.
Well, in that same interview, you said you wanted to develop your pilot.
Well, the pilot that I did have is dead. because they made 2 shows very similar to it. And then one of those shows was successful, and then the other one got canceled. So I'm like, that's not anything anymore. And the pilot I wanted to do was like, it was kind of like the stand-up scene from a female's perspective, because I haven't seen that done yet, like modern. I don't know, there's like a show on Amazon about a female stand-up. But this idea was before there were a million shows about stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see it from the female side because it's like very different. Like, men are terrible.
I can't believe I... Almost every episode. I mean, this is only episode 3, but it'd be like a, almost like a payback to Louis, right?
Yeah. Because that would be an interesting thing, like looking at it from like what, like our community had to deal with Me Too. Like a bunch of people came out and were like, this guy sexually assaulted me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's like, but like, obviously with tragedy, there's like comedy. So it's like a, could be a good thing.
I mean, you could still make it.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Netflix is supposed to be picking up like 500 shows this year. So you do the list with S.A. Otawo and I'm going to butcher this name,
Fatima Dore.
Thank you. I was going to do both names wrong. All right. So you do the list with them. Can you tell us about that?
So the list is, I like to make, well, this is my idea because I really like making lists. And I also like the improv community a lot. So I was like, you do a comedic list and it could be anything. It could be like one thing because I did one that was just one thing. It was how many times I've seen my dad cry, which is once. And then, or you could do it like, I try to like be like cap it at like six. But you do a list and then the improvisers go up right after you. So even if you bomb, you're saved, which is nice. But it's like, it's just like a super fun show because it's basically like being in on a joke the whole time, because like, I don't know why people just, brains like that, where like, you know what the thing is and then you, it's like a callback. People love callbacks.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is. Yeah.
Cool.
It's fun.
It's like more of a structured Harold even.
I thought it was called a Mondo? Mundo?
It's like an improv game like they do at UCB.
I think it's Armando. It's, yeah, where someone does stand-up and then you go and
play. Oh, that's that's actually more accurate reference than what I was making. Have you ever listened to Affirmation Nation?
No.
Are you familiar with the comedian Seth Meyers?
Yeah.
So he has this character, Bob Duggar.
Did you say Seth Meyers?
Seth Meyers.
Has he ever been on Comedy Bang Bang?
All the time.
Okay, I probably heard him then.
And Bob Duggar, his character, is canonically Scott's stepdad in Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh.
And he's always injured, and he's really pathetic. But he has this podcast called Affirmation Nation,
mm-hmm.
and the character Bob Duggar often reads lists in it.
Yeah.
I've got one in the bank if you want to hear it.
Recently, I was embraced by the hip-hop community. And because of this, some of my new rapper friends have given me the following nicknames. Two Canes, Low Blood Suge Knight, Biggie Palsy, Sean Puff Knuckle Combs, P. Drippy, Wheezy, Sneezy, Sore Kneezy, Engorged Pun, Ice Pack, Notorious HPV, Lupus Fiasco, Shitty, DM Exhausted, Tupac Low Blood Shakur, Aesop Rocky Health Outlook, Sick Ross, Easy E. Coli, Dr. Dre, Patient Zero, and Macklemore. Thank you, friends, for giving me these pseudonyms. There's something.
Someone actually did a list just like that on the list. They did
really?
Their rap names.
But I guess this is from the lens of the character. He's just always mm-hmm. sick and decrepit and pathetic. The list reminded me of that anyway. On the CE Hags podcast, you talked about spending a gap year in England. What did you do while you were there?
Well, I was a server and I cleaned rooms. but there, the first time I went, okay, so I went to London. I got a job. No, I went to Edinburgh first. Then I got a job. So I went to Whitchurch. I worked that job. I got fired from that job. Then I went to London and I lived in a pub with all these other travelers and I just sat around and like watched movies and then like went shopping at Topshop. Like that was basically all I did. I could have done a lot of things, but I didn't. And then I went to Alfricombe with my former best friend and I got a job working at a hotel. And yeah, and I cleaned rooms and served basically. Yeah.
Did you do any comedy?
No, this is before I ever, like I've always wanted to be a sitcom writer, but I was never like, I'm going to perform. I only ever started performing because Ann Beats told me to.
Who's that?
Ann Beats is, she's one of the original SNL writers.
Oh, cool.
She like came to my school. And because we won like a talk with her and she was like, if you want to write comedy, then you have to get your face out there because you can't just like be this non-existent person.
Do you have a list of sitcoms of situations for comedy?
Sometimes. I don't know. I do have like all these ideas for web series, but I never get around to writing them because I'm so lazy.
You can just say busy. People will believe it.
Well, stand-up's like forever ruining your brain, you know?
You think about things differently?
Well, you're just like constantly like, I need to write new jokes. I need to write new jokes. And then you don't. And then you just feel like shit all the time. That's what stand-up is, if you want to get into it.
You said in a mini documentary called Vancouver Comics.
Oh, God.
You said that you took a stand-up comedy class. Is that how you got your start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone was like trying to push me to do it. So finally, my friend who had just done the class was like, you better do the class. So I did the class. And it's like, it wasn't that I didn't think I was funny. It's just that I'm not a public speaker. Hmm. Like, it's taken me years to get even, like, comfortable on stage. Like, when I started, I would hold a piece of paper and my hand would shake so hard. Like, people who I start with still remember when my hand would shake. Like, very scary. But now it's fine.
Well, famously, Mitch Hedberg never got over it.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's why he had his hair long and the sunglasses, because mm-hmm. he had crippling stage fright.
Oh, yeah.
As well. R.I.P.
yeah.
I turned my stalking style of research into my guess. I'm thinking of turning it into a segment called Revisionist History. I love your Twitter banner, by the way. Of all the possums.
Yeah.
And so what I've done here is gone spelunking through your Twitter all the way back to 2011.
Whoa.
And found some tweets I wanted to ask you about. Spelunking? Like cave diving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But how'd you go that far back?
I found a service. I Googled how to do it easily so that I wouldn't have to keep scrolling. And I got one that goes from the beginning forwards.
Did it get better?
You've actually got a pretty consistent style. I mean, it gets more polished, but mm-hmm. There was a lot of talking about Game of Thrones at the beginning.
Hey, that was like when it was starting, you know?
Oh, yeah, I talk about Game of Thrones all the time. On the 18th of August, 2011, you said, I wish Kids in the Hall was still on TV. I have an amazing idea for a chicken lady sketch. Do you remember what that was?
What the fuck was it? It had something to do with her coming, of course, because you gotta have coming if you're a chicken lady sketch. That really bothers me that I can't remember. Like, I've really lost brain cells within the last 5 years.
Well, if someone brought you that prompt now, like, let's say you were the improviser and that was in their list, chicken lady sketch. What do you think it would be?
I would have her eat chicken nuggets. But I have no idea
it's
what...
It's just the camera locked on someone eating maybe 100 chicken nuggets or something?
I really wish I could remember. I wonder if my friend Maya would know. Back then, I was like... When I first started Twitter, I was like living in her basement.
Is that
suite.
Maya Saxel?
Yeah.
The next one is at Maya Saxel, and it says, lol, I remember that now. I make a wonderful gimp, but I couldn't see what you were replying to.
I honestly would have to go look. There was one time where I was just standing in her living room and I just was on the ground.
Bruce Willis came in with a samurai sword?
Yeah, basically, like, it was like someone had just come and, like, pushed me over and I was just on the ground all of a sudden and I was just like, everyone, like, came and gathered around me and I was just like, I don't know what happened. But I don't know if it's a gimp. She called me... Oh, does she actually mean, like...
Well, all I have here...
It might actually be about a gimp.
It says, at Maya Saxel, lol, I remember that now. I make a wonderful gimp. But I don't have what it's in reply to.
For some reason I was thinking it the other way. Yeah, okay, so she did write a sketch where, like, these grandmas had a gimp in a basement. I make a wonderful gimp.
Sounds like
gimp.
It could be right. You could play the gimp in the basement.
Oh, that's possible. Maybe it's because I was living below her. I don't know.
Did that sketch ever see the light of day?
Well, it was like a live sketch show. So I actually have that video, the whole sketch show, on my old computer. Fuck, I need to get that off my computer before it dies.
So on the 19th of July, 2012, Granville Island is a pedo's dream right now.
Oh, I was just walking around. There's a lot of kids.
Were they particularly attractive kids or something?
It was just, you know, when there's so many kids.
That's
going to
get taken out of context.
That you're annoyed. You're like, this is too many kids. Like,
so every day of school for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's less nefarious than I thought. All right, and this last one. A guy who hates Sarah Silverman says, I remind him of her. Compliment or compliment? thought that was pretty apropos, because in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about Sarah Silverman. But anyway, I'm sure that's been about half an hour. Usually I have Talia Murdoch sitting up there, watching the levels, making sure this is still recording. But she's in a